I remember it was June 1996, in which the company I worked for 29 years said that I was not, didn't have the competencies to be a significant part of the company in its future. You see, our company was going through downsizing or re-engineering or whatever they call it. And I was being re-engineered. 29 years of good reviews, 29 years of everybody saying I'm doing a pretty good job. 29 years of sacrifice. And then comes a time in which I was told I was no longer needed. You can just imagine the despair and disappointment that went through my mind. You all have faced that, haven't you? At least some of you have. That deep sense of loss. That deep sense of saying, what in the world do I do now? The deep sense of saying, I have two children that I need to prepare finances for college and a wife and a home and no job. I had a couple of sleepless nights until right in the middle of the night. I was awoke and I went downstairs and I was leafing through my Bible and God pointed me to a verse and it was Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the promises I have for you, saith the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans of a future and hope. You know, this promise was a reminder of me that even though I was not needed by the company, that God was still alive and well in my life. As proof of that, I got a phone call from a good friend who knew I lost my job. And he said, Merle, I heard about this. I'm here to give you encouragement. I said, that's good, Bill. He said, matter of fact, I put a card in the mail to you. I said, thank you, Bill. And he said, you know what it says? I don't know. But then that verse came to my mind. I said, Bill, it says, for I have plans for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans of a future and hope. And Bill said, how did you know? Could I just melt that out? There are times that we need to remember God, even in the state of despair and discouragement. How good is your memory? Can you think back to times in which God has been a part of your lives? A good friend of mine, we kind of joke that we, as we age, we have 20/20 memory. Which means I can remember what happened 20 minutes ago and 20 years ago and nothing in between. It's true for some of us older people, right, Mike? So if I repeat myself after 20 minutes, just remind me that that I'm saying the same thing over again. Today we're continuing our series called Driving Out the Giants in Our Lives. And last week we talked about the giants in our lives. And today we're going to talk about the giants of discouragement and despair. And this message addresses the battles against these giants. And I call this sermon Total Recall. Because we will have times in our lives, like I had in 1996, where the troubles seem to overwhelm us. And we fall into despair and discouragement because of tragedies, deaths, loss of jobs, divorce, and financial problems. It is in these times where we need to remember how good and merciful God is. And also remember, He has nothing but good intentions towards us. We'll be in Lamentations today, and Lamentations is a book of crying out. It's a book that many believe was written by Jeremiah as he's crying out over the demise of the city of Israel and the temple and the people. Jeremiah was faced with a worse situation as he watched the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel fall to Babylon and be totally destroyed. So with that, why don't we turn to Lamentations chapter 3. We're going to read verses 21 through 26. Lamentations 3, verses 21 and 26. And before you do that, why don't you turn to somebody and say, I remember God. Why don't you do that right now? I remember God. You sincere? Say it again. I remember God. Okay. Amen. Let's read this. This is in the middle of Lamentations after Jeremiah has cried out to the Lord in pain. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you as we cry out each and every day, sometimes in discouragement, sometimes in total despair. We cry out because we know you are there. We cry out for answers. We cry out in complaint, and we cry out in just supplication to you. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go through Lamentations, I ask that a special anointing comes upon me and upon this congregation, that you will reveal to us your true nature so that we can find comfort in it. More than anything, so we can find hope. With that, Lord, I just pray that you will use me as your vessel, broken as it is, to present your gospel in a clear and concise way. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So today we're going to deal with the giants of discouragement and despair. Webster says to be discouraged is to be deprived of courage or confidence. And despair is to lose all hope or confidence. One thing we know about discouragement and despair is that they're real giants, don't we? How many here believe that they're real giants in our lives? They absolutely are. I recently read something about, or a little story, about the devil having a rummage sale, which we have a lot up here. And the devil was selling all these tools. And let me read this to you. Over in the corner by itself was a harmless-looking wedge-shaped tool, very much worn, but still it bore a higher price than any of the others. Someone asked the devil what it was, and he answered, "That is discouragement." The next question came quickly. "And why is it priced so high, even though it is plain to see that it is worn more than these others?" "Because," replied the devil, "it is more useful to me than all these others. I can pry open and get into a man's heart with that when I cannot get near him with any other tool. Once I get inside, I can use him in whatever way suits me best. It is worn well because I use it on everybody I can. And few people even know it belongs to me. This tool was priced so high that no one could buy it. And to this day, it has never been sold. It still belongs to the devil. And he still uses it on mankind. Is that true? It is true. Number one, it's real. Number two, it even affects us physically, doesn't it? It stresses us out. It puts us in a position that we're tired and we're weak and that we don't want to go on. Basically, physically, it takes us down. It takes us down. It also pulls us away from living life, doesn't it? This tool does exactly what the devil wants it to do, and that is to isolate us, right? So in our discouragement and our despair, we hide. We try to hide from our problems. We hide from all the things that yank us down. We don't want to fellowship. We don't want to share. And we don't want to be with others. And last, they challenge our faith. Don't doesn't discouragement and despair challenge your faith? We question God. Okay, God, where are you? We demand, you better show up. I need you now. And we accuse. Are you the cause of all this? Did you make this happen? And certainly we think differently about his intentions towards us, don't we? Don't we? And we say, you better know what you're doing because I don't. That's not much different than what Jeremiah was facing with the demise of Israel. You can see it in his heart as the author of Lamentations. Let me set the scene for you. Lamentations was written at the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC by the hand of the Babylonians. I know because I lived back then. No, I didn't. Many believe, including me, that it was Jeremiah the prophet who wrote this book, which is a book of laments. You know what laments is? It's a book of crying out. That's why Jeremiah is looked upon as the crying prophet. He had the worst, dirtiest job in the whole world. His job was to tell Jerusalem that if they don't get their life straight, that God was going to put his wrath upon them. That's okay to be a prophet to say those things. But he knew in his heart that he couldn't stop it. He cried out. It's like crying out for one righteous man to come forward. That's how Israel was at that time. They had left God. They had even gone to sacrificing pigs in their temple. Things had changed. No longer did they seek after God. They sought after things of evil. It's Jeremiah crying to them, saying, please, please change your ways. And then, in Lamentations, they suffered the consequences of their action. And God pulled his protection away from them. To correct them, to discipline them. More or less, it was an act of love to change their hearts. In the Septuagint is a note that Jeremiah went on a hillside overlooking the city and uttered these laments. It's a wonderful book of poetry. It can cause you to get somewhat depressed. It can. It's written in a form of an acrostic, the first, second, and fourth and fifth chapters are 22 verses, each beginning with the letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it's amazingly crafted. It was crafted so that Israel could memorize these things, so that it would stick in their heart the turning away from God and the consequences of that. Ray Stedman explains Lamentations as a study of sorrow, a hymn of heartbreak. Lament means to cry out, and this is a crying out about the complete desolation and destruction of Israel. You can just imagine what's going through Jeremiah's mind as he's seeing destruction. And it wasn't just destruction. It was the total wiping out of a nation. It was starvation. It was famine. It was such starvation where mothers ate their young. That's how bad it was. That's the cry out that Jeremiah had. The utter humiliation of a nation that was once great. It's hard to liken this situation to anything except maybe the Holocaust, which you would think would be worse, but I don't know whether it was. It might have been equivalent, because they were taken, their best was taken away into captivity by the Babylonians, while their temple, their church, where God was supposed to reside, was destroyed, and the city was in ruins. And Jeremiah was going through this discouragement and despair. And right smack dab, just about, in the middle of Lamentations, in the middle of his despair and his discouragement, in the middle of this pain, you could see Jeremiah's head go down. And then he says, "And this I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope." The word recall in the Hebrew is shub, and it means to cause to return, to bring back or refresh. You see, when everything around him was crumbling apart, he knew it was necessary to recall the nature of God, to recall God's intention towards all of Israel. It was important to refresh his mind. Mind here is lib, or the inner man, his heart, to give himself hope. And hope is your call, and hope means expectations of the Lord's intervention. Expectations of the Lord's intervention. In the middle of this, he recalled who God was and what his nature was. But what did he recall? What did he recall? He recalled God's tender mercy. Verse 3:22 says, though the Lord's mercies are not consumed. Mercy is chesed in Hebrew. It means it's more than just mercy. It's God's tender mercy. It's God's love. It's God's goodness. It's God's kindness to us. Sometimes you read it as his loving kindness. That God has a loving kindness towards us. A kindness that's brought about because of true love towards us. His loving kindness towards us. It is because of this mercy or tender mercies that we're not consumed. Doesn't make things change for you if you know somebody's care when you're in discouragement, right? Doesn't take this change discouragement into maybe encouragement when you think about somebody that cares? Doesn't it? And that's what's happening here. Jeremiah had to recall the tender mercies of God, which is not consumed. It's not eaten up. It's forever. It's like the burning bush that was given to Moses that keeps on burning and is not consumed. It tells us that tender mercy covers us and we are not consumed. We are not consumed. We're not spent. We're not destroyed or completely taken over. Because we have the tender mercies of God that covers us. This I recall the Lord's mercy. Can you say that? This I recall the Lord's mercy. I'm saying this so this is resonant in your heart, because discouragement and despair will come against us. So one, the first thing that Jeremiah recalled was God's tender mercy. And then further on in verse 3:22, it says, because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. What's compassion? It's a heartfelt pity and concern for us. Isn't it? It says it's pity for suffering with a strong desire to help. So we have a God that gives us loving kindness. Kindness we don't deserve, but the mercies, loving mercies. And then we have a God that has a strong desire to help us. We have somebody who cares. We have somebody that has that strong compassion to help us. And they don't end, do they? Because of his compassions fail not, the tender mercies do not end. They are new every morning. Isn't that great? You can wake up every morning and say, today is the first day of the rest of my life with the Lord. Right? Today is the first day of the rest of my life with the Lord. And when you think of morning, what do you think about? You think about the sunrise. You think about the freshness of the dew. For some of us that get up in the mornings, and I'm not one of us, there's some beauty in the sunset. Isn't it great to know that his tender mercies are new every morning, that you can wake up to a new sunrise? I said sunset, I'm sorry, sunrise. Isn't that true? And they don't end. They're not dusty. They're not rusty. And they're 24/7 at 100%. Think about that. His mercy and his compassions will not fail. Isn't it great to know we have a God that has unending resources and unending love? Isn't it great to know that? Unending. And you can start your life all over again every morning? Boy, that's something, isn't it? That's something. So you need to say this. I recall his compassion. I recall his compassion. You need this. You need this resonant in your heart. The devil has his tools of discouragement and this toll of despair. I'm giving you the tools of encouragement. Verse 3:23 says, great is thy faithfulness. Not only is his mercy and compassion new every morning, he is faithful to us. He's faithful to us. Are we faithful to him? All the time? No. How great is his faithfulness? Pretty great. He will never, ever, 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 not ever, not even think about leaving you nor forsaking you. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope, for he who promised is faithful. That's our hope. Amen. That's our hope. Now you know why the song was written, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, your hand has provided. great is thy faithfulness unto me. Now you know where that Bible verse that song came from, don't you? It came from Lamentations, didn't it? It came from Lamentations. I recall his faithfulness. Can we say that? I recall his faithfulness. A second way, after recalling, a second way to defeat the giants of discouragement and despair was to know that the Lord is your portion. Verse 3:24 says, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I have hope in Him." What do you think it means that God is your portion? God is part of us. We all have this big hole in our souls and our guts yearning for it to be filled. And it was meant to be filled with God. God has to be our portion in our soul. Does that make sense? He's that portion in our soul. God was Jeremiah's portion. God was a part of Jeremiah's life. Jeremiah knew that people, power, and things were not to rule his life. Portion in Hebrew is chleg, meaning a share, part, or territory. A very part. So God was a very part of his soul. Is God alone sufficient for us? We would like to say so, wouldn't we? But that's important because God is sufficient for us. He was made, or you were made to have a relationship with Him. Therefore, with Jeremiah, he had hope that he could put his faith in an almighty God. The third way to fighting the giants of discouragement and despair is to know His goodness. Do all of you think that God's good? Okay. All the time. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, the soul who seeks Him. He's good to those that wait for Him. Let me say that again. He is good to those who wait for Him. How many times do we want to go before God? How many times do we say, we got this covered, God, and we do things our way? We get frustrated because His timetable's not our timetable, right? Doesn't that frustrate us? God, I got this discouragement, despair, you better fix it now. And God says, I will. Let's just talk together. Let's walk together and let's move you into a different stage of life with me. That may take time, right? But this is a promise that He is good. He is good to those who wait. There are times we need to be still and know He is God. That's tough because sometimes we know we are God, right? It is tough. We give things to God, we take it back. We give things to God, we take it back. We give things to God, take it back. Right? But He says, be still. Sort of like your parents, you know? You're fidgety. You want to go somewhere right away and you can't wait. You got to go out. You got to get the clothes. Come on, Mom. Come on, Mom. And what do your parents say? Be still. Just be still. Because it will happen. I think He does that to us also. So the Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. The soul here is a Hebrew word, nefesh. It means the inner being of man. And seek is darash. It means seek with care, inquire deeper than just searching. is looking with every fiber of your inner being. This seeking is intense from your gut, not only to seek Him, but also to seek His will. It can't be, I'm waiting, God. I'll seek you, maybe tomorrow. No, God will be good to us as we really seek Him. Like Jeremiah coming out, I just can't do this anymore. Like Jeremiah saying, please help me, help my nation. I'm seeking you, Lord, with everything that's inside me. It's important to me. I will wait, but I will also seek. And I will look for you in everything of my life. Anything that happens in my life, I will stare at it and seek you to see whether you're in it or not. That's what Jeremiah is saying. So we have challenges, don't we, as discouragement and despair comes against us, don't we? But we too, we need to recall who He is in our lives. In the middle of everything, we need to recall. In the middle of the tears, in the middle of the pain, we need to just stop and remember God's nature. We need to know that He is merciful. We need to know that He is compassionate. More than anything, we need to know that He is faithful. He is steadfast. He is a Klingon. And He will not leave us nor forsake us. And in the depth of our pain and despair, we have to realize that we will not be consumed because His love endures forever. His love endures forever. We need to remember His infinite mercy through the cross. I mean, God died on the cross to save us. I mean, this is an outward demonstration of His love for us. He didn't have to do it. He was God. But what infinite mercy is that to die for our sins because of His tender mercies? Because of His compassion and because of His faithfulness towards us. He took the penalty for our sins. He put us in right relationship with Him. Now, mercy is not getting what we deserve. But the grace of God is not getting what we deserve and having Jesus take the penalty for us. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Pretty awesome. We do also have to understand that it needs to be a major portion of our life. We need to walk with Him and talk with Him on a constant basis. That's when He'll really reveal Himself to you as you seek Him out. As you seek Him out. And you will know who He is without a doubt. Once you study Him, once you talk to Him, prayer and worship and study. And then when you see Him, you'll have no doubt when you seek after Him. You'll know the real thing. And last, certainly in our lives, we need to be still and know He is God. And that He is good. And that He has a plan for our lives. It is good to hope and wait and seek. Always being open to listen and being ever mindful to seek Him with our total heart and our total soul in all things. And that He will save you from the giants of discouragement and despair. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Not just our personal salvation, but in these times of discouragement and despair, for Him to save us out of that muck and mire. For I have plans for you, saith the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans of a future and a hope. And God had that for my life. It wasn't that much later that I decided I wanted to go to seminary. And I had enough separation pay from the company that let me go to take my time and decide my next career. So I went to seminary. I got another job right away. And here I am. Because God had a plan for my life. Sometimes you got to focus on the plan. And focus on His goodness. Sometimes there seems to be no answers when we fall into discouragement and despair. The only answer is to recall. So He can give you hope. We call His loving, merciful, compassionate, faithful nature. We call all the things He's done in your life because He has worked in your life. Right? I should hope He has worked in your life. And there are times you have to do that mental journaling going back. He did this for me. He did that for me. He did this for me. What makes Him any different as a God in my life? Right? I personally don't know the answers to everything that happens to me, but I do know Him. And this I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. I remember how God blessed me with a woman in 39 years of marriage. I remember God blessed me with a wonderful son and daughter. I remember all those times He covered my iniquities and didn't give me what I deserve. I recall the loss of this job and the beginning of a new future. And this I recall coming here to Grace Christian Fellowship Church in Calumet to be a messenger of God's grace. It's not coincidental that God sent me to a church that's called Grace Christian Fellowship Church, is it? It's not coincidence. And most of all, I recall that right there. I recall the cross. I recall the cross being a demonstration of God's love and mercy towards me. Our God's not a monster. He doesn't delight in our failures and tragedies. He's a God of endless mercy and grace. And sometimes you say to yourself, I've been dealt a bad hand. It's unfair the way I've been treated. It's unfair what's been going on. And the only thing I can say to you is, what's so fair about that? What's so fair about God sending an innocent, sinless son to die on the cross for all of us? He's a good God, and He has your best intentions in mind. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You, and Lord, we're sorry that we let discouragement, despair take us away from the most important thing in our life, and that is You being our portion. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to You, and we just thank You as we recall the good things You've done in our lives. And we also thank You, Lord, about the mercy and compassion and faithfulness that You have towards us. More than anything, Lord, we thank You for sending Your Son to die on the cross for us, to take away that sin, the ultimate demonstration of Your love. Dear Lord, I come to You repenting that I let discouragement and despair come into my life, especially when I can recall some magnificent things You've done throughout these last years with me. Lord, help us all to recall. Recall that You're there and to seek You out with everything that's within us. Lord, there are some out here today that don't know You. Some that have heard Your gospel message but have never latched on to a relationship with You. I know that, Lord, that You're pulling on some of their hearts. I ask You, Lord, that that we answer the prayers of some of those that are yearning and crying out to you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, this is time I ask that if you don't have a relationship with Christ and you want one, it's not very hard to do. It's when you say to God with this prayer, Lord, I repent of my sins and I turn to you and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. That's when God can do the best work in me. Again, those of you that don't know Christ, it's a simple prayer. You pray this, Lord, I repent of my sins. I turn away from them and I run towards you. So you can help me in this discouragement and despair. And I accept you as my personal Savior, a personal God. Help me live this personal life. If there's anybody who had prayed that prayer for the very first time, I just ask you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, to just put up your hand and put it right back down so I can pray for you. Just put up your hand. Thank you. Put up your hand and right back down. I want to pray for you. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for Lamentations in Jeremiah as he reminds us to remember you. So, Lord, we lift this day up to you. We lift this congregation up to you. We ask that you make us more like you and change us into your image. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.